So this morning we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're reading from the Madhya Lila, chapter number 5, entitled The Activities of Shakshi Gopal. And we're reading from text number 76, which is on the board. However, there's many verses leading up, so I'll just read those verses in English. And then we'll recite 76 together. When the elderly Brahmana heard this, his mind became very much agitated. Feeling helpless, he simply turned his attention to the lotus feet of Gopal. So this is the old Brahmana. His son is making up some story so that he doesn't actually have to end up giving his daughter in charity to the young Brahmana. But of course, the old Brahmana wants to do it. And he has made a promise in front of Gopal, so he's feeling very, very bad that how will I maintain my word. Maybe this is a little high. It's going to be down. The elderly Brahmana prayed, "My dear Gopal, I have taken shelter of your lotus feet, and therefore I request you to please protect my religious principles from disturbance, and at the same time save my kinsmen from dying." The next day the elderly Brahmana was thinking deeply about this matter, when the young Brahmana came to his house. The young Brahmana came to him and offered respectful obeisances, then very humbly, folding his hands, he spoke as follows, "You have promised to give your daughter in charity to me. Now you do not say anything. What is your conclusion?" After the young Brahmana submitted this statement, the elderly Brahmana remained silent. Taking this opportunity, his son immediately came out with a stick to strike the younger man. The son said, "Oh, you are most degraded. You want to marry my sister, just like a dwarf who wants to catch the moon." Seeing a stick in the hand of the son, the younger Brahmana fled. The next day, however, he gathered together all the people of the village. All the people of the village then called for the elderly Brahmana and brought him to their meeting place. The young Brahmana then began to speak before them as follows, "This gentleman has promised to hand over his daughter to me. Yet now he does not follow his promise. Please ask him about his behavior." All the people gathered there asked the elderly Brahmana, "If you have already promised to give him your daughter in charity, why are you not fulfilling your promise? You have given your word of honor." The elderly Brahmana said, under the pressure of his son, "My dear friends, please hear what I have to submit. I do not exactly remember making a promise like that." When the elderly Brahmana's son heard this, he took the opportunity to juggle some words, becoming very impudent. He stood before the assembly and spoke as follows, "While touring the various holy places of pilgrimage, my father carried much money. Seeing the money, this rogue decided to take it away. There was no one besides this man with my father. Giving him an intoxicant known as Dhatura to eat, this rogue made my father mad. Having taken all my father's money, this rogue claimed that it was taken by some thief. Now he is claiming that my father has promised to give him his daughter in charity. All of you assembled here are gentlemen. Please judge whether it is befitting to offer this poor Brahmana, my father's daughter." Hearing all these statements, all the people gathered there became a little doubtful. They thought it quite possible that because of attraction for riches, one might give up his religious principles. At that time, the young Brahmana said, "My dear gentlemen, please hear, just to gain victory in an argument, this man is lying. Being very satisfied with my service, this Brahmana said to me of his own accord, 'I promise to hand over my daughter to you.' At that time, I forbade him to do this, telling him, 'O best of Brahmanas, I am not a fit husband for your daughter. Whereas you are a learned scholar, a rich man belonging to an aristocratic family, I am a poor man, uneducated, with no claim to aristocracy. Still, this Brahmana insisted. Again and again, he asked me to accept this proposal, saying, 'I have given you my daughter, please accept her.' I then said, 'Please hear. You are a learned Brahmana. Your wife, friends, and relatives will never agree to this proposal. My dear sir, you will not be able to fulfill your promise. Your promise will be broken.' Yet again and again, the Brahmana emphasized his promise. 'I have offered you my daughter. Do not hesitate. She is my daughter and I will give her to you. Who can forbid me?' At that time I concentrated my mind and requested the Brahmana to make the promise before the Gopal deity. Then this gentleman said in front of the Gopal deity, "My dear Lord, please bear witness. I have offered my daughter to this Brahmana in charity. Accepting the Gopal deity as my witness, I then submitted the following at his lotus feet. If this Brahmana later hesitates to give me his daughter, my dear Lord, I shall call on you as a witness. Please note this with care and attention." To read from text number 76. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Thus I have called upon a great personality in this transaction. I have asked the Supreme Godhead to be my witness. The entire world accepts the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Although the young Brahmana described himself as having no claims to aristocracy and being an uneducated common man, still he had one good qualification. He believed that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was the topmost authority. He accepted the words of Lord Krishna without hesitation, and he had firm faith in the Lord's consistency. According to Prahlad Maharaj, another authority on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such a staunch and faithful devotee of the Lord must be understood to be a most learned scholar. Tanmadhye dhitam uttamam, Bhagavatam 7.5.24. A pure devotee who has firm faith in the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to be considered a most learned scholar, the topmost aristocrat and the richest man in the whole world. All godly qualities automatically exist in such a devotee. In the preaching work of the Krishna consciousness movement, we, as the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, fully believe in the words of Krishna and his servants, the disciplic succession. In this way, we are presenting the words of Krishna throughout the world. Even though we are neither a rich man nor a very learned scholar, and even though we do not belong to any aristocracy, this movement is still being welcomed and is very easily spreading all over the world. Although we are very poor and have no professional source of income, Krishna supplies money wherever we need it. Whenever we need some men, Krishna supplies them. Thus, it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita 6.22, Yam labdva chaparam labham manyate nadikam tata. Actually, if we can attain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, we do not need anything else. We certainly do not need those things which a mundane person considers to be material assets. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So with the permission of the Vaishnavas, thank you for the opportunity. I try to share something on this verse of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Here Prabhupada is bringing out probably the baseline of spiritual life, the bottom line, which is that our spiritual life, our spiritual wealth, our spiritual vibrancy, everything is ultimately dependent on how much simple faith one has in Krishna. How much simple faith do we have in Krishna? According to that, we can understand how wealthy someone is. I studied at UCL in London, and university life means late nights, late mornings, and if you're Hare Krishna, that means late rounds during the day. So close to the university, there's a square, Russell Square. So I always used to go to that place, because Russell Square is not only quite a nice place to go to, but it's a very spiritual place, because Srila Prabhupada used to take morning walks in Russell Square all the time. And there I'd be chanting my rounds in Russell Square, trying to picture Srila. There's many pictures actually of Prabhupada in that park. Picturing, visualizing Prabhupada walking in that park. And Tribhuvanath Prabhu, if I'm not mistaken, tells a story of how Prabhupada one morning was walking in Russell Square. And he was surrounded by sannyasis, GBCs, leaders, all illustrious Vaishnavas. And some days Prabhupada spoke on the morning walk, and some days he was quiet. So today he was quiet, and he was just chanting japa, and everyone was following him. And occasionally, as Prabhupada would be in the front, he would just stop. And then devotees had to make sure they didn't, like, you know, run over Prabhupada. So Prabhupada stopped. And he dug his cane into the ground. And he looked back at all of the devotees. And he said, there's only one problem. Anyone know what the problem is? Prabhupada said, there's only one problem. Lack of Krishna consciousness. You don't actually believe that Krishna exists. Now, Prabhupada just opened up a whole thing there. Prabhupada opened up the possibility that you could join the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. You could call yourself a Hare Krishna. You could chant Krishna's names in the morning every single day. You can read about Krishna. What to speak about that? You can even go out and convince other people about Krishna and all the while not actually believe in Krishna yourself. That is scary. You could actually be, Prabhupada was saying, these were people who gave up everything to serve Krishna. And Prabhupada was saying, the problem is you don't actually have that simple faith in Krishna. You don't actually believe in Krishna. Here the young Brahmin is a humility, is saying, I'm not aristocratic, I'm a no one, I don't have any qualification, I'm not so learned, I don't have so much great austerity, practically I have nothing at all. But the real thing is that he is the wealthiest because he believes in Krishna, because he has that simple faith in Krishna. And as you read this chapter, his simple faith in Krishna comes out in a shining way. Later on in the chapter, we'll read how he comes in front of Krishna. He comes in front of Gopal in Vrindavan. And he says, Ey Jani, Tumi Shakshi, Deha Doya Moi. Krishna, you are my witness. You know everything. You are very merciful. Tumi Shakshi, Nahi Deha, Tara Papa Hoi. He comes in front of Krishna and says, you know everything that's happened. Now, if you have the knowledge of what's happened and you don't bear witness, he's looking at Krishna. He says, if you don't come and bear witness, tada papa hoy, then that's your sinful activity. It's like, how you come to Krishna and say that's your sinful activity? Just see how he treats Krishna as a person. Then later on, Krishna looks at him. Krishna kohe pratima chale kotaha na shuni. Gopal looks back at him and he says, okay. Krishna kohe, but then Krishna speaks to him. That in itself, like, okay, so Krishna starts speaking back to him. Pratima chale. A deity walking? A deity going from one place to another? A deity leaving the altar and journeying to a faraway place? Krishna looks at him and says, Kotaha na shuni, I've never heard of this happening in my whole life. I mean, Krishna is like, that's a big life, you know, Krishna knows everything. Krishna looks at him and says, I never heard this happening in my whole life. You want me to come and bear witness? Krishna is now speaking to him. Vipra bole pratima haya. The Brahmana looks back at him and says, that's a good point, Krishna. Yeah, no one's ever seen a deity from walking from one place to another. Kaha kene vani, but you're sitting here talking to me. No one has also heard of a deity talking like that either. So if you can talk with me, you can walk with me. And then he looks at Krishna. Pratima na hoya shakshad vrajendra nandan vipra lagi deha kori akarya karan. Krishna, don't try and cheat me. Pratima na hoya tumi shakshad vrajendran. You are Krishna himself. You are not a deity. And then he looks at Krishna and says, Vipra lagi kori mani akarya karan. Now you do it. You can do it. Krishna, I know you can do it. Come on, you come and bear witness. When I read these three verses, it sounds like book distribution. Isn't it? Like book distribution has three steps. The first step is you make your case. Second step is you have to do objection handling. And then the third step is you have to close up the whole deal. So he comes in front of Krishna, he says, Krishna, this is, you know, you should really should do it. That's what we do on book distribution, isn't it? You stop someone, you say, look, you're amazing. This book is amazing. And if you take this book today, it will be an amazing day. You make a case, right? And then the second thing you have to do is objection handling. So like Krishna saying, how can I go? Deities don't walk. He said, no, you can walk. You can talk. You can do everything. So he's like, that's what you have to do on book distribution, right? People come to you. No, I can't take the book. I'm a Christian. Brilliant. We're looking for all the religious-minded people. No, I can't take the book. I don't read. Brilliant. Here's your chance to start. No, I can't take the book. I don't have any time. Brilliant. This book will help you make time. No, I can't take the book. I don't have any money. Yeah, don't worry. We're not selling it. And then you know what comes next. Second step, you have to do objection handling. And then the final step in book distribution, you have to close up the deal. Isn't it? Arun knows. So this young Brahmana comes in front of Krishna. He goes, come on, Krishna. I know you can do it. You can do it, Krishna. That's what we have to do on the street, isn't it? You can do it. You can do it. I don't know. Should I do it today? Yeah, you can do it. Don't worry. You can make it. You can make it. You'll be fine. It's amazing when you watch book distributors on the street because they make people do what they don't want to do. Once I was with a book distributor and a person took books and then he came back and I was standing with the book distributor that she took the books from. She goes, I don't stop for anyone in the street. I'm not interested in books and I definitely don't buy anything off the street. And you've just basically penetrated all my defenses. She goes, you got some powers there? How are you able to do that? Because of someone's simple faith in something, they can make someone do something. Krishna has to reciprocate with the Vaishnavas when they have simple faith. No, but you'll say, no, Krishna doesn't have to do anything. Krishna is independent. He's Svatantra. No. When you have simple, sincere, straightforward faith in Krishna, Krishna has to reciprocate with you. And there's this beautiful pastime, Memories by Shyam Sundar Prabhu, where he talks about how they were in San Francisco. And he says, practically we were in San Francisco in the early days and we had no money. We were, every time we got money, we had to spend the money. We had nothing, no savings. We were 2 months behind in the rent and we were basically facing eviction. And he said, one day, myself and Malati, Mother Malati, we came out onto the street. We were 2 months behind. We were going to be evicted. And he said, in the early morning, we came onto Haight Street or Ashbury Street, whatever it's called. And he said there were $100 bills flying. He said there were $100 bills flying. We looked around, there was not one person in sight. He said we started catching all that. He said, and he said, he makes an amazing point in that memory. He said, Prabhupada instilled within us that if you have simple faith in Krishna, and if you take all risk for Krishna because of that faith, Krishna has to reciprocate with you. And he said, we tested that to the max. He said, Prabhupada instilled within us that those who have simple faith in Krishna and take a risk for Krishna, they see Krishna the closest. And he said, we have to rediscover that spirit of simple faith in Krishna. So this simple faith in Krishna is the essence of spiritual life. And it's actually very, very natural. But sometimes it seems so far away, isn't it? It seems so far away. How will we have that simple faith in Krishna? Shishiradha Gokulananda ki jai. How will we have that simple faith in Krishna? That yes, Krishna is there, Krishna is a person, Krishna will reciprocate with me. Where even when we pray to Krishna, we're not 100%, like we're praying to Krishna on one hand, and behind the back we're making 50 million plans to cover it up. And even when Krishna, we do pray to Krishna and Krishna is reciprocating with us in our life, we can't even see it. Isn't it? Just like the man who had an interview one morning. And he had an interview, and he was getting late, and he was driving in London, and he was looking for a parking space, and he was thinking, I'm getting late, there's no parking spaces. God, please help me, I need to find a parking space, I need to get to this interview, please find me a parking space. And as he turned left and drove down the road, then he saw a parking space, and he looked up to God and said, don't worry, God, I found one. Maybe that is our situation. Maybe that is our situation. That Krishna is there. Krishna is reciprocating. Krishna is alive and active. Yet can we see him? Can we perceive his hand in our life? That requires simple faith. So then the next question comes, how do we develop this simple faith in Krishna? You see, these two brahmanas, they were simple. But the son, he was very complicated. The two brahmanas, they were very, very straightforward. But the son, he was crooked. The two brahmanas were very, very sincere. But the son, he was cunning. So then we have to ask ourselves, am I simple, straightforward and sincere, or am I complicated, crooked and cunning? Where are we on the scale? Are we more on this side or this side? That is going to determine what kind of simple faith we have in Krishna. In order to have simple faith in Krishna, we have to embrace simplicity in every aspect of our life. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one of his mahavakyas, one of his great statements, was always saralata vaishnavatva. Simplicity is Vaishnavism. Now this is like a sutra that's incredibly powerful. Simplicity is Vaishnavism. If you want to have simple faith in Krishna, we have to have simple lifestyle. We have to be simple in our speech. We have to be simple in our dealings. We have to be simple in the way we present ourselves. We have to be simple in the way we practice Krishna consciousness. When we embrace simplicity in every aspect of our life, then the simple faith in Krishna will come about. But if we're complicated in our lifestyle, our dealings, the way we present ourselves, the way we speak, the way we practice Krishna consciousness, if we're complicated there, then when we come in front of Krishna, practically we'll have no possibility of having that simple faith and simple interaction. And if we don't have that simple faith, then we miss the whole point of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, saralata Vaishnavatva. Simplicity is Vaishnavism. We have to be simple in our lifestyle. See, if you complicate your lifestyle, then you will have to complicate your mind to manage that lifestyle. Isn't it? Have you noticed? It works both ways, actually. When you have a complicated mind, you create a complicated lifestyle around you. But when you have a complicated lifestyle around you, you end up complicating the way you think about life, because that's what you require to maintain it. Therefore, Prabhupada said, simple living, higher, purer thinking. internals are affected by the externals. So we have to have simplicity in our lifestyle. We have to be simple in our speech, isn't it? Like yesterday we talked about, that discussion came up about truthfulness. If we are not simple in our speech, if we're not straightforward in our speech, then it will be very difficult to have simple faith in Krishna. When I was a kid, I used to have dreams of becoming a world-famous cricketer. So every day after school, I would come into the front living room, and I'd have like this rubber ball, and I'd have a cricket bat, turn the music up on loud, and then I'd throw the rubber ball against the wall, and then it would come back to me, and then I'd hit it for like six, you know, like in the living room. So one day I was doing this, the music was on loud, I was really charged, like you do it as a kid, you visualize like, this is the World Cup final, and it's the final over, and then I threw the ball, and it was like, I was totally pumped, you know, and then I just whacked it, and I middled it, like it was, I hit it really well. So well that it bounced around the room and hit my mum's favorite jar, clay, you know, like this porcelain jar. So it hit the jar came crashing down. As it came crashing down, my mum came into the room. So when she came into the room, she saw the jar on the floor, and I looked at the jar. So she was looking at the jar, I was looking at the jar, and then, as you can imagine, we looked at each other. And then she looked at me and she said, "What happened?" And I said, "It broke." So she said, "It broke." "It broke or you broke it?" No, I said, no, "It broke." She said, no, "Just wait 1 second. You broke it." No, I said, no, "It broke." It was an interesting kind of interaction, because for the first time in my life, I realized that even in our speech, we're unknowingly devious, as though I was divesting all responsibility of that jar smashing itself to the jar itself. It shows that we're complicated. We must be simple in our speech. Otherwise, that deviousness in our speech will come over in our faith in Krishna. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, in spiritual life, weakness can be accepted, but cheating cannot be accepted. He says, we have imperfect senses, we're subject to illusion, we make mistakes, and we are subject to cheating. Now, the first three of them, imperfect senses, illusion, mistakes, to some extent you can't do anything about this. What to do? You have an imperfect body with imperfect senses. That means likely you will become illusioned, which means likely you will make mistakes. So those three things you have no power over. But then what do you do when you make a mistake? Are you going to cheat? That's up to you. That one you do have power over. The other three you may not, but the one thing you do have power over is if you're going to cheat. If you're going to brush it under the carpet, lock it up in the closet, cover it over. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, yes, the conditioned soul has four defects, but the propensity to cheat is very much within the control still of the jiva. And therefore he said, weakness is allowed. But cheating, no. Therefore, we have to be simple in our lifestyle. We have to be simple in our speech. We have to be simple in the way we present ourselves. Isn't it? There's this chronic tendency to present ourselves to be something we're not. Like, this is fascinating. Bilva Mangal Thakur. All of you know the story of Bilva Mangal Thakur, right? You know, like on that day, in the night when there was a storm and there was all kinds of obstacles. He swam through that river. He was bitten by snakes or whatever it was. And then he went up to see the prostitute. In order to get that sense gratification, he was willing to undergo anything. He went to see that prostitute, Chintamani. And when the prostitute saw him, I'm just cutting the story short, but the prostitute said to him, "You have this much desire to see me? If only you had this much desire for Krishna." And boom, that just hit him. Like, wow. Chintamani became his guru because of that. Now the most amazing thing is, later on when Bilva Mangal Thakur was writing his books, and you know what he does, right? He glorifies his guru. He glorifies the prostitute Chintamani publicly. Now just think about that for a second. Would you publicly broadcast to the whole world that my guru is a prostitute? It's interesting. Just think about it for a second. Like, imagine I would come onto the Vyasa San now. Okay, we're giving Chaitanya Charitamrita class. Om Agyana Timirandasya. And I offer my respectful obeisances to the prostitute. And he goes like, whoa, 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 hang on 1 second there. Prostitute? How did a prostitute become your guru? Oh yeah, this is my past. I was going to see a prostitute. Who would say such a thing? That is simplicity. That is simplicity. To tell the whole world, yeah, I went to see a prostitute and she became my guru. I mean, it's a different level of, you know, like how much we're sensitive to cover up our personal life. Isn't it? Bilva Mangal Thakur was just so simple. He was just ready to say, "This I am who I am, but I got the mercy." Wow. You know, that level of going beyond duplicity to be able to present yourself in such a simple way. We have to be simple in the way we deal with others. Oftentimes in Vaishnav dealings, very, very, we're judging, we're kind of measuring people up. You know, in this way, complicating our interactions. Like once I was at an airport, maybe it was Heathrow Airport, somewhere, anyway. Anyway, it was a packed terminal. So I was sitting down, I managed to get a seat. And so I was sitting, and then there was an empty seat next to me, and then next to that was a Muslim lady in a full burqa. So it was me, empty seat, Muslim lady there with a full attire. So it was a packed terminal, and then I saw this, there was a Jewish man. He was walking towards us. So obviously he must have been tired or whatever, and he was also like full Jewish, like with the hat, with the locks, like the real McCoy. So I could see, he saw the seat. He saw the seat. And then I could see there was something going on in his mind. I mean, naturally, like you see a seat and you see an orange guy on one side and then, you know, Muslim lady with a full, and then he's like Jewish. So you could see there was a battle in his mind, like, shall I take the seat or not take the seat? Anyway, he must have been tired. So he took the seat. So he came over, like everyone was a bit on edge, you know, like it was, you know. So he sat down on this seat. So he sat down on the seat next to me. So I, you know, like everyone was being careful not to go like this, you know, like that would be rude to just look like that, you know. So, but you could see everyone was, she was like looking and I was looking and he was also like looking and it was all very uptight. It was all very like, and then it was just all very tense. You could feel the tense moment there. And then what happened is there was this lady, Muslim lady, she had a daughter. And the daughter was like a photocopy of her, but like a small version with the full, like, you know. And this Jewish man, he had a son. His son came running over. And his son was like a photocopy of him as well, like a small one. So then, this was amazing. What happened is we were all sitting and it was very tense. And then the young Muslim girl and this young Jewish boy, they looked at each other, the kids. So this was like right happening right in front of three of us. Have you ever seen like when two kids, they like look at each other for like, it's like they look at each other for like 5 seconds or something like that. They're just looking at each other. And then they just started playing with each other. You know, they started like chasing each other around. And you know, like when we do in kirtan, when you like, you know, go like that and you go spinning around and all that. They just started playing with each other in front of this, in front of us. And there was something beautiful about that. Because it showed that there was such a simplicity within the children. There was such an innocence. There was such a purity that they did not see, oh, here is a Muslim, or here is a Jewish person, or here is like this. They looked beyond that. They saw beyond that. And there was a simplicity in the dealings where they just... And then I remembered actually the Gita verse, Krishna says, Samma sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. That when you're able to see the equality of everyone, then you can have pure devotional service. So isn't it said like that in the Christian tradition, something to that effect, that you have to become pure and innocent like a child to enter the kingdom of God? So when we meet other Vaishnavas, there's a chronic tendency to be complicated. Size him up. What's your devotional career, Prabhu? And who are you initiated by? And what's your mood? Like, I need to make sure you have a similar mood to my mood. And what's your emphasis in Krishna consciousness? And it becomes very, very complicated in our dealings. Simplicity in dealings. Simplicity in the way we practice Krishna consciousness. We all may remember, or at least I remember, when we first came to the Krishna consciousness movement and we heard a kirtan, we heard the holy name. Nowadays, maybe we hear tunes. Maybe we hear drum beats. Maybe we hear nice music and the mantras somewhere there. Maybe in the beginning, when we heard a class, we heard a philosophy that touched our heart. And nowadays, when we hear a class, we think, that's a good point, I'll write that down and use it in my next class. Or maybe we think, yeah, I mean, I've heard that story before, never heard it told like that, but that was a nice way to do it. I'll bear that in mind. Missed. Maybe missing the philosophy. Maybe there was a simplicity and innocence when we began Krishna consciousness that when someone told us to do a service, we were ready. Because that's service. I mean, what could be better than service? And nowadays, when we're asked for a service, we think, well, what's the cost-benefit analysis here? What is the long-term gain that I'll get from doing this? Maybe we've become calculative. Maybe we've become complicated. There was a simplicity that we had. There was a simplicity of practice in Krishna consciousness. Like, I always found it interesting. It was interesting, some weeks ago, Godruma was giving a class and someone asked him something about chanting. And he said, just be normal. Just be normal. When you're asking these questions, just be normal. It was a very interesting point. The point he was making was that when we chant, it's a relationship with Krishna. Krishna is a person. We're having a conversation. Do you need to be told when you're having a conversation, okay, here I am today, I'm going to give you guys the top three tips in having a good conversation with someone. Tip number one, don't fall asleep. I mean, do we really need to be told that? I mean, it seems like quite an obvious point. If someone would tell you, don't fall asleep while you're having a conversation. But we need to be told that when we're chanting japa. Because somehow, something that we're not simple to understand that I'm chanting and Krishna's a person and therefore I have to be awake. there's a certain complication that's come. I mean, I don't know. Has anyone here ever fell asleep having a conversation with a person? I'm not talking about Krishna here, but with a person. It's only Abhay. I have to admit here that I had never done that in my life, but about 2 months ago, I actually fell asleep having a conversation with someone. I was with, is Daniel here? I was with Daniel in the meeting room. There's nothing to do with Daniel, I'm not saying, you know, he's wonderful to have a conversation with. I was with Daniel in the meeting room. I don't know, I was so exhausted that day. Maybe it was after Prasadam as well. And we're having a conversation. And I fell asleep. I fell asleep during the conversation. And the most amazing thing is, I woke up and Daniel was just sitting there patiently. And I woke up and I felt so bad. I felt so bad. I was like, I'm really sorry. I just fell asleep while we were having a conversation. Like, I'm so sorry. And he was just like, you know, Daniel, he's like a saint, you know. He was like, oh, it's okay, no problem, no problem. And I walked away from that and I thought, that's amazing. Like, every day we fall asleep when we're talking to Krishna. But the fact that I don't feel bad about that means I don't accept Krishna as a person. Because here I fell asleep in front of a real person and I felt it. But when we do that in front of Krishna, we don't feel it. That means we don't see Krishna with that simple mindset of Krishna being a person. And so, I guess the point I'm making here is that the most striking thing about this pastime is that the two brahmanas had incredible simple faith in Krishna. That's the essence of Krishna consciousness. But you can't have simple faith in Krishna unless you're simple in your lifestyle, you're simple in your speech, you're simple in your dealings, you're simple in the way you present yourself, you're simple in the way you practice Krishna consciousness. Saralata Vaishnavatva, simplicity is Vaishnavism. And therefore, without simplicity, there is no question of having that real faith and that interaction with Krishna. And therefore, we have to become like simple, like a child again. They say when you grow up in spiritual life, you become a child again. When you grow up in spiritual life, you become like a child again. Yes, we have to be mature. Yes, we have to be practical. Yes, we shouldn't be naive. Yes, we shouldn't be like, have our head in the clouds. At the same time, as we advance in spiritual life and become mature, become streetwise, become more practical and develop all of these qualities, we have to remember that in the midst of all of that, if you lose your simplicity, then you've lost the essence. So the question on the table, which is the $64 million question, which I don't have the answer to, but with the association of Vaishnavas, maybe we'll one day realize, is how do we go on in spiritual life and become all of those things, become mature, become learned, become very practical, not be like naive in any way, and at the same time be like a kid, be like a child with that kind of purity and innocence. Because it's those Vaishnavas that have that childlike simplicity. We should not be childish, but we must be childlike. Because without that purity and innocence, there is no question of actually having that real interaction with Krishna. So, as you can see, we are trying to find the inner child. And these are the points that I share with you today for my own. This is one of my reflections. And one thing that really stands out for me when I read this pastime is the great simplicity. And it is this simplicity which is Vaishnavism, according to the words of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Hare Krishna. So those were some thoughts. I don't know if anyone has any comments or questions or anything they would like to add in this regard.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the wonderful class. I'm wondering if you could tell us why being simple and above the modes of passion and ignorance allows us to approach Krishna, and how that kind of draws his attention to us as someone who could possibly take up the path of bhakti.
So why does simplicity attract Krishna's attention? Simplicity is allowing one to have complete dependence. You see, when we're not simple and we're complicated, we're depending on many, many things. And when we're depending on many, many other things, then Krishna becomes limited in how much he can get involved in your life. But when you become simple and dependent on Krishna, and you say, Krishna, now it's in your icon, you know, then Krishna has to come because he wants to come. Have you ever had the experience of someone who comes to you and says, oh, Prabhu, I need help. I need help, Prabhu. But you know in the background that devotee's got all of his other things going on to kind of cover up the situation. Then in your mind you think, okay, I'll give him a bit of help. But anyway, he's dealing with it himself. I won't. But if a child comes to you and a child says, like, you can see they're helpless, they're depending on you, then you'll pull out all the stocks because you think this person has no other shelter than me. And therefore you'll naturally become involved. So the more that we try to control and we become complicated and we veer away from that simple dependence on Krishna, then Krishna cannot get involved in our life. He doesn't want to, because he doesn't kick the door open into our life. So that's why simplicity is so important. Because when we're not simple, we all have that experience, isn't it? We see it within ourselves. We see in ourselves, when we are not simple, people are, they're not drawn to us, they're repelled. Is that the word, right? Repelled, yeah. People don't want. Because they think, oh, this person's so complicated. No, I don't want to get involved. But when you see a simple person, naturally you're drawn, because there's a certain genuine in the, there's a certain authenticity in the interaction. That's another point. That when you're simple, there's an authenticity and genuineness in the interaction. But when we're not simple, it's very superficial. And no one likes superficial relationship. So that's why it's not so easy. But therefore when you think about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's statement, saralata vaishnavatva, simplicity is Vaishnavism, you realize how deep it is. How deep it is to be simple. So it's a journey, and it's a wonderful journey. And it opens up wonderful doors of interaction with Krishna. So those were some thoughts on that.
Thanks, Prabhu. Wonderful class, as usual. So,
yes, on.
It's not a question. I just want to maybe... Can I add something?
Yes,
it's
please.
It's not a question. You talk about Prabhupada walked in the park and he was saying that there's one problem, that we didn't believe in Krishna, or they didn't believe in Krishna. There was a turning point in the way I used to chant, and this was my realization that you know, they said that Krishna's names and pastimes and his activities and pastimes and form and all these things, they're none different to Krishna himself. And then I realized, after a while chanting, I realized I didn't believe that. I didn't believe that. And this is the reason why I think I didn't believe it. It's because I'm thinking, well, how is it then, if all these things are Krishna, how is it then I can chant and be absent from Krishna? How is it I can chant, and if Krishna is here, how is it then I can be somewhere else? I'm thinking, well, this doesn't make sense. Dhruva Maharaj, he actually saw Vishnu, and he gave up all his desires. He was dumbfounded. He was shocked when he saw Krishna. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, well, if Krishna is present through his names and form and all forms and all these things, then why is it? I don't get it. I just don't get it. And then I think, well, okay. That's what it is. I don't believe that statement. And the moment I started to believe it, my consciousness changed, and my faith improved or increased.
It seems as though we are infected with skepticism as a result of conditioning for many lifetimes. Like there's this social experiment on the street. It's very interesting. You can see it, it's a video. The man goes out into the into like the town center, and I don't know, he's just like giving people money. Yeah. So it's like, you know, something of that nature. Yeah, he's giving people money or he's giving them something. So he's walking around this, you know, and he's like, we're just doing a free party. Here's some money. And it's like, it's interesting, like most people just ignore. No, sorry. He doesn't go up to them. There's a table. And then he's a big sign, like free money or something like that. And then it's like, what are the reactions of the people? So like most people just walk past. They're like, this is a hoax. You know, like some people come and start like, you know, they're very kind of aggressive. They're trying to see like what's behind this, what you mean. And then one person even calls the police. They call the police. Again, there's a guy out here, he's giving money to everyone. It's like, okay, like I didn't know that was against the law to give money to people. But people are just like, and I mean, there's many lessons you can draw from it. But one lesson you can definitely draw from it, amongst many others, is that we have some inbuilt skepticism within us that, no, it can't be that simple. It can't be that simple. Obviously, there's got to be more complicated than that. Obviously, it's just like... Therefore, Prabhupada said... this is the point. Therefore, Prabhupada said... Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, Prabhupada, you said spiritual life was easy. Prabhupada said, I didn't say it's easy. I said it's simple. Spiritual life is simple. But it's not easy. Because you're not simple. Because you're complicated. Therefore, simple for the simple. Tribhuvanath Prabhu quoted Prabhupada. He said, so simple, you may just miss it. So why is it? Why is it then we do these spiritual things? We don't. Because we're not simple. We are plagued. We're plagued with skepticism. It can't be as simple as that. So then you become complicated then. Then you will have to work it out. That's the point.
That's a nice point. And faith is required. And then my faith...
Faith, what we require, yes. We must associate with simple Vaishnavas. Vaishnav means simple. And there are simple Vaishnavas. That sadhu sangha, that genuine sangha with a saralata Vaishnav, a Vaishnav who's simple, that kind of sangha, that's the gift of sadhu sangha. Therefore, without that sadhu sangha, it would be very difficult.
Yeah. So I made that statement, say this, that point of realization, that faith in believing that Krishna is in his forms and his names and activities. And as I chant, he's there as well. So how can I turn away? It doesn't make sense. Because if Krishna was literally standing in front of me, I would be wild, I'd be shocked. So I just need that faith to connect. And the moment I developed that faith, I could go deeper. And it made sense to me. It was so much substance to it, you know? Anyway, thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you. Anyone like to?
Thank you very much. A very inspiring class. You reminded me just now about that experiment on the street. I didn't mean to, but I came from the country mostly, grew up in the country. So, you know, people are more simple in the country. Mm. Literally country, you know, like not even in a village, just in a house, you know, with no other houses around and things like that. So when I first came to London, I was shocked. You know, like the tall building, it seemed like tall buildings anyway to me, and, you know, people rushing around everywhere. So I was so shocked that I bought some sweets, and I started, you know, I was like 19 years old, something like that, and I started offering them to people on the street. I don't know what was in my mind exactly, but people were just totally dumbfounded, and, you know, I don't think I could even give any sweets away, you know. Of course, life was a little bit simpler then, like 40 years ago. But it made me realize, actually, how impersonal we have become in this situation, in this environment, you know, especially in a big city, you know. So maybe it was the beginning of some inclination to do Sankirtan, I don't know, but...
It's so true, isn't it? Like when you come from a simple surrounding, that's why simple lifestyle creates that simplicity within someone, simplicity of mentality. And the world we live in now is like I could never understand this. Years ago, people used to walk from one place to another. Then they became more advanced. They used cycles. Okay? Then they became more advanced to go from one place to another. They used a car. Now what people do is they whiz around in a car, going from place to place all day, working hard, and then at the end of the day, they pay £30 a month to go in a gym when they're absolutely tired already because of a long day. They go into a room, they sit on a bike, start cycling, sweat their, you know, whole body out to go absolutely nowhere. Now that sounds complicated to me. Far more complicated. But we do it without even thinking. Someone will look at that and say, that's normal. That's normal because we've become so complicated. So what has become normal is basically a result of how complicated we've become. Therefore, without that simplicity, yeah, so it definitely makes a difference, the lifestyle. And yeah, maybe that's nice in the last few months, you know. It's been very simple in one sense. Of course, management is a different... that's a whole different ballgame, you know. But apart from that, life is simple. A great opportunity to develop simplicity. Because that is maybe... the meditation for today, that saralata vaishnavatva, simplicity is Vaishnavism. Thank you very much. I think we'll finish there. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.